Marvel's Jessica Jones, Episode 12, Take a Bloody Number, is over, but we're just bloody getting started here on Post-Show Recaps. Hello, everybody. I'm Josh Wigler, and I don't know if Kevin Mahadeo would have better luck with the garden shears than that one guy with the garden shears, given his track record, but let's hope so.
Yeah, considering what happened to me and kitchen tools, I don't think gardening tools and I would get along very well.
I would keep you away from that, if that's possible.
Yeah, that would be a good plan.
All right, so it's Tuesday here as we are dropping this penultimate podcast of the Marvel's Jessica Jones.
Yeah,
podcast. Can you believe it? This is the second to last one. That's what penultimate
means. I know, it's
crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's always such a pain to wait, too, like for the next one. Not just to get to talk to you again, but also just to wait between these shows, I gotta admit, is intense. I just want them now. I want them with me at all times.
Well, you do have that possibility, but I appreciate your loyalty in not becoming Binging Billy.
Yes, I had to pace him out. I pace him out with you. You and I, we're taking this one episode at a time, so to speak.
And I appreciate the loyalty of the people who did Binging Billy through this whole thing and still listen to this podcast. It's really fun.
Yeah, no, that makes me very happy that people are doing that, obviously. I'm glad that my ridiculousness is bringing some entertainment to some people and some, you know, people are listening to what I have to say, which is usually not great.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty accurate description of how you are. As a human. No, I'm kidding, of course. No, this is always fun. Always fun talking to you, Kevin. I'm going to miss this when it's done, but it's not done yet. We've got two episodes of Jessica Jones left to go. We are dropping this on a Tuesday. We are recording it just a few hours after we recorded our great Simpsons cast, our great rundown of everything with America Pills and all that stuff. Kevin, anything interesting going on in your life? You didn't cut off any digits.
No digits cut off, but I do have
no bloody digits for you.
Yeah, no bloody digits. I have a very important question about this episode.
Sure.
So there's that scene where Jessica grabs the doctor out of the office, right?
Yeah.
Was that John Cochran? Like, I rewound it like six times. We looked online. No one's credited. And Robin and I were both like, is that John Cochran? Yeah. Like, that guy looks identical to John Cochran.
Yes.
It was bananas.
So let me just say a few things on that subject. I have no idea if that was John Cochran or not. If you are somehow listening to the Jessica Jones podcast and you're not a Survivor person, if you're not coming from Rob Has a Planet, the Rob Has a Podcast community, as a big Survivor fan, then let's just set it straight. John Cochran is a winner of Survivor, of the hit reality show. He won handily in season 26 and is a friend of RHAP. And I don't know. I mean, it kind of looked like it was him.
It looked a lot like him. I've seen John Cochran many a times on Survivor because, you know, between rewatches with Robin for the first time and watching it myself for the first time, like, I was like, oh my god. And she even said, too, she was like, oh my god, that looks a lot like John Cochran.
Is that Cochran? But Cochran he lives in Los Angeles and this show shoots in New York. So I feel like it's not him. I feel like it's just a guy who looks a lot like Cochran. But I will say,
is he from New York originally, though?
I don't know, like, where he's from originally. I don't know.
I thought he's from New York originally. So maybe, I don't know. It'd be interesting.
but I do have it in my notes. Is that Jessica Jones accosting John Cochran right now?
So, okay, so you thought so too.
I thought so too, but I can't tell if that's my own thought or if I got Kilgraved and somebody on Twitter brought this up already. I feel like somebody on Twitter, and I'm not sure who to credit. I would have to dig really deep into my mentions, and I haven't been able to do that. The dig deep was pun unintended. I feel like someone brought this to my attention already, that get ready for the John Cochran cameo at some point, Jessica Jones. So if it was you, please announce yourself.
I had not seen that. So this is not just you. If for some reason, you know, Cochran is listening in, please weigh in and let us know, because I would not be able to sleep at night. Like, no, for sure.
No. Yeah. And Kevin, you guys probably don't know this if you are Survivor fans. Kevin's a huge Survivor fan. Kevin loves Survivor.
Yes, I am.
Loves Survivor.
Yeah. I've been watching since season one with my family, and we've kept up. That's the reason, like, I also really wanted to keep up with the shows, because when my sister, you know, left for college and I was already in New York, my dad was still in Florida. That's kind of like every week we still kept in contact talking about Survivor. So, yeah, it's a big part of my life.
Haven't you flirted with the idea of applying before?
My sister and I both have flirted with the idea of applying before. We both wanted to go on, and we kind of regret not having done that for Blood vs. Water, too. So,
oh, my God. It is,
especially since we could have been on with Keith. So,
Kevin,
mistake.
Kevin, you would be a great first boot on Survivor.
Oh, I would get it. I would be out so fast. I was
really
just like, why would you want to do that? You don't like the sun. Like, you hate going to the beach. Like, why would you do Survivor? You'd be so bad at it.
You'd be the new Mike Scoopin. You'd be cutting off fingers. You'd be falling in fires. It'd be great.
I love Scoobin, so I'll take that as a compliment.
All right, well, if you ever want to nerd out about Survivor with Kevin, hit him up on Twitter, at Kev Mahadeo. He's always down to talk Survivor. Hopefully we can get you talking Survivor on the podcast in an official capacity at some point.
That'd be amazing.
I'll put the bug in Rob Cesternino's ear over at JP. But let's talk about Take a Bloody Number. Let's talk about the penultimate Jessica Jones. What's your overall take on this episode? It ends in a big way. Luke Cage with maybe a bullet in his head. Probably not, considering he's got a show coming up. I guess it's
funny because we talked about this, right? When we were talking about last episode, we were like, oh, the cliffhanger, you would have preferred the explosion and waiting to see what happens. But I'm like, but it's the same thing. Like, he's fine. Like, he's his whole fine. Shtick is impenetrable skin. He's fine. He's okay.
It was a cool moment. I liked it. I agreed
it was a cool moment, yeah, for sure. I liked the entire fight, really. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, just like the emotion of the moment that was the option that Jessica was facing. It's like, I just got to blast Luke Cage in the face with a shotgun. That's really my move right now. That's all I've got.
I hope that it turns out for the best.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty intense. But I liked this one. I thought that this was a good Jessica Jones. It didn't blow me away or anything, but I really liked the scenes with Jessica and Luke.
I admit I did not see that twist coming either, that twist with Luke at all. Like, that was surprising to me.
I thought that the whole Central Park sequence was really strong. So there was good stuff in here. And I'm saying this as somebody who is a huge Simpson fan, and there was no real Simpson follow-up in this one.
No, there was not. I mean, there was kind of in the regard of like Trish investigating stuff and trying to find out stuff. And it seems like that's laying groundwork for season two, I guess. There's actually some thoughts I have about all of that that we can get into once we start talking more about that.
All right, yeah, raise the alarm whenever you get there. If I miss it, please bring it up. But you know what I've noticed? That we had our huge rant against Jessica Jones around the time of episode 10, and here we are two episodes later on episode 12, I think feeling better about the show. I'll admit not feeling as high about the show as I had felt pre-episode 10, but I'm feeling good about the show. I'm feeling fine about the show right now.
Yeah, I've definitely come back around. I think that, episode 10 was a bit of a hurt, but I think they stumbled, but they've caught their footing again. But they're not up to full speed, but they're racing towards that finish line as fast as they can.
But one thing that I've observed is, do you know what's been missing from these past two episodes?
Now I'm cracking my brain.
Not only is all hope lost, but we haven't seen hair or hide from Hogarth in two episodes.
True. Maybe that's why I've been feeling better about this.
You know, correlation isn't causation, but she has been missing.
It's true. I'm sure we're going to see her again before the show's over.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was not an ending with Hogarth. There has to be a little bit more, but I'm not mad that they've sidelined her for these past two episodes.
Agreed. I think it's good that – I think people needed a breather from her.
Yeah.
So I think that was a good move on their part, actually.
All right. So we start the episode by flashing back to the aftermath of AKA 1000 Cuts, and it's Luke Cage was apparently following Jessica, saw Kilgrave there, and was about to rush up to Kilgrave and tear his face off, but he gets Kilgraved. And man, Luke Cage, I love you, bro, but you're not going to get Kilgraved if you stealthily sneak up behind him and snap his neck. If you're just going to like charge across the street looking
like a bull, like a rhino going at him.
Like, you know, even if you were just, you know, lightly jogging or just walking casually or whatever, you're going to look intimidating because look at you. You're jacked. You're jacked out of your mind. Even if you weren't unbreakable, you are so strong looking that
a giant dude is running at you, everyone would just be on edge.
I feel like you would notice. I mean, of course, Kilgrave is going to notice, and he's going to Kilgrave him instantly. So I hope for Luke Cage's new series whenever that comes up, and assuming he survives his shotgun blast to the head, which I got to imagine he's going to, unless it's an origin story, please just, you know, check yourself a little bit. Just, you know, like, rein it in, just a touch.
Maybe this will teach him. He'll have to learn from these mistakes.
I really like that we get the name of the episode right away here.
Oh, yeah. And in a great, like, I was going to comment, like, this is another perfect David Tennant-ness of how, you know, his delivery, just like, stop right there. Who the bloody hell are you? Like, just like, who the hell are you? Like, because that's legit question. Who are you? Yeah. Why are you coming at me?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and if you think about where Kilgrave is coming from, in that moment, he's just like walked away from a really intense thing to begin with. So he's already on high alert. He's got his dad. He's got Jessica Jones, who, if she is able to, you know, untangle her situation over there fast enough, she could be on his tail any second now. And here just comes freaking Luke Cage barreling up against him. And he's just like, I don't have time for this. Who are you? Get in the car.
Yeah.
And Luke is like, I'm Luke Cage, I'm here to kill you. And he says, take a bloody number.
Bloody number. So perfect. Just a perfect David Tennant delivery.
It was good.
Ah, God, I hate I hate Kilgrave so much, but I love David Tennant just as much.
I know. This has been the constant struggle of these podcasts.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Kilgrave has Luke in the car and starts finding out about Luke's connection to Jessica. We were lovers.
Yeah, which again, is just like, Luke, not the best thing to say.
Yeah, and Kilgrave wants to know if that was like the love lovers or if it was a pity shag.
Right.
I had never heard of that before, a pity shag, but I guess I've heard it with a harsher word in American terms. I took some American pills, which is why I repeated that twice. So I thought that was good. I thought that was fun. I liked the scenes with Kilgrave and Luke in this one.
I did. I liked Luke's line too, where he's just like, you screwed that up yourself. And I was like, Luke is the best. I love that guy. I love him.
Because Kilgrave is asking for full truth from people in this episode. And sometimes the full truth is not what he wants to hear. And that is certainly not what he would have liked to hear. Like, no, you screwed up your chances with Jesse.
Yeah, which is accurate. Like, he did. Like, it's just again, it shows this guy where he just doesn't understand. He doesn't get it.
Doesn't get it at all. So that was all really good. But we go from there. It's going to be a Luke and Jessica tag team in episode. That sounds a lot dirtier than I meant it.
considering their history of what we've seen from them.
It's going to be the two of them are going to be in business together. They're going to be working together.
Doing the business together. What?
No, they've done the business together. They're not doing the business in this one.
That's true. They didn't do the business, but they did business.
But I'm surprised. I was surprised by it. You know, I thought that maybe that's where we're going. There were a few tender moments in this episode, but as we find out later, those are engineered tender moments.
Just so colored. Maybe that's kind of cool. Like, maybe that's why it did. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of reasons why it didn't happen. Like, just wrong place for it, wrong time for it. But I wonder why, like, if it's a situation like it didn't happen because it wasn't, like, it was Kilgrave trying to orchestrate this thing and it didn't go in that direction, which is probably the direction Kilgrave would want these things to go with him and Jessica, and it didn't because Kilgrave is just so off with certain things. I don't know. That's probably me reading way more into it, but that's it. That is interesting, though.
But I wonder if watching this episode back, how it's gonna play, because we know by the end of the episode that Luke had been Kilgrave. Jessica thought that she had asked him everything, thought that she had gotten him away from Kilgrave's influence for long enough. She thought that it was a 12-hour thing. Turns out it's 24 hours.
He's been, like, as we saw throughout the episode, his dad's been working on making him stronger, and it's increased from 12 to 16 and now 24, it seems.
Right. So that's upgrading. She's not sure if she's asked every single question of Luke that would convince her that he's not Kilgraved. So she's keeping an eye on him and everything, but we know that he is Kilgraved, and I wasn't watching the episode with that in mind. So there's a lot of tender scenes in here, like when they're talking about Reva, when they're talking about their plans to go after Kilgrave, and the fact that Jessica is no longer Kilgraveable because of when she killed Luke's wife, and that was something that broke the hold. And, you know, there's going to be moments in this episode of Luke offering her forgiveness, offering her tenderness. And how much of that is Kilgrave versus Luke? Is it all false, do you think? Do you think every single bit with Luke and Jessica in this episode is completely hollow?
I don't know. It's hard to say, right? Like, I don't know if it's completely hollow, but part of the ending fight was, you know, Jessica trying to stop him, trying to be like, you don't want to hurt me, but clearly part of him still did. So I don't think he would have fully forgave her if he legit was still trying to hurt her. Because the idea here, I mean, like, with the Reva scene was that, you know, when she killed her, it broke her control. They kind of confirmed that here because she did something she didn't want to do, I guess. So if Luke is still part of him still trying to attack Jessica and can't break it, that means part of him still hasn't forgiven her.
Right.
And to say, like, early on, like, oh, I forgive you, clearly then that is Kilgrave speaking more or less. So I feel like, yeah, there's a certain extent where a part of him, you know, part of it was definitely not Luke, and a lot of it may have been Kilgrave.
Brutal.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough.
It's tough. Also brutal is Kilgrave is going to be at a concert hall. He's at the I don't know what it was. I think it was like the Delancey or something like
that. Yeah, I think it's the Delancey.
And he's there and he's doing a big concert hall thing, and we don't get to see it. We hear about it, and we get to hear about it more throughout the episode. But one of the guys comes out and calls it anti-rock, which I thought was really fun.
I wish we got to see that scene. Like, I would have loved to see David Tennant up there anti-rocking.
Yeah, I don't know. You're more of a David Tennant guy than I. Is he musically inclined?
Not that, like, I'm trying to think if I ever heard David Tennant sing, but it doesn't come to mind. To be fair, I may not be the best David Tennant person out there. I'm sure there's other people who are, like, much more hardcore David Tennant fans than I am. I mean, I love him because of Doctor Who and Harry Potter, and I mean, I sadly haven't seen that BBC show he did where they remade it in America as well. And he still played the same role.
Broadchurch.
Broadchurch. I haven't seen that yet. It's on my Netflix and I really want to watch it. So that said, nothing comes to mind where David Tennant has sung, but I would love to hear him sing.
Yeah, I would love to hear him sing too. So if anyone knows if there's anything like that we could put our ears and eyes on, that would be cool. That'd be awesome. But yeah, he's working on increasing his powers. That's why he hasn't killed his dad yet. Good news for his dad. He gets to live. The bad news is he doesn't get to sleep at all. And we'll see just how bad that is in a little while. But we see one of Kilgrave's uses of his powers. It's just very, very casual. But it's I feel like it's one of the most brutal uses of his powers that we've ever seen. Which is this guy who's praising his anti-rock abilities. Kilgrave tells him to go across the street, face that fence, and stay there forever.
Yep. And as we see at the end of the episode, he is still there. That's the thing. He implies that at last, I guess, it's funny because when I saw that guy out there, I was just like, oh, that poor guy. But, in that moment, early on, when he first tells him, him and his dad have a conversation about, whether or not it'll last, how long he'll stay there. That should have been an indication to the viewer, really, when they pan back to him later and he's still there, that, oh, wait, Kilgrave's powers are lasting much longer than we originally thought.
Right.
That should have been a cue, but I didn't pick up on it. And it wasn't until afterwards I was like, oh, snap. So I think that was a visual cue that was there on purpose that we missed.
But even that's interesting. I hadn't picked up on that either until you just said it. That's a great read. But even still, even though the Kilgrave powers wear off, doesn't he have to follow that order forever? I mean, he said stay there forever. Or does that wear off eventually?
That'll wear off eventually, right? If you remember, Jessica mentioned, distance and time. It's just the time thing is now longer than it was, so he'd probably be there for what Kilgrave said last 24 hours now.
Okay.
So it'll probably take him 24 hours before poor guy could wander away.
Oh, I feel much better about this now.
Yeah, we saw he peed himself already, so
That's unfortunate, and that's a really tough day and night, and that sucks, but at least, he's going to get away from there, and that's fine.
I hope so. I hope they don't cut to Luke Cage's series and they walk by that area, that guy's still
he's
dead.
He's just hanging out, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awful.
That'd be kind of great, though.
Oh my god, that'd be brutal. That'd be so brutal.
That'd be really good. But can you explain to me how they're working on Kilgrave's powers? What's going on here? What's the plan? What's the plot? There's a point where Jessica is talking about how maybe they could get him to be able to use his powers over microphones and on broadcasts and stuff. But if it's a virus, how is that going to work?
Yeah, this is exactly what I mean, right? I was against the thing when they said it was a virus. I was like, what? So I don't know how that would work. I know, the whole thing where they established, oh, yeah, it's a virus. It wouldn't work over radio or a microphone, right? That's the implication. But that's what they're trying to work on, and it seems like that's what he has his dad for. He's trying to amplify his power, which would, again, if you're him, of course you want to do that. Now, if they didn't say this virus thing, we wouldn't have blinked an eye at that. We wouldn't have blinked an eye at them being they're trying to increase his power so he can do it over the radio.
Right.
We're like, oh, yeah, that's dangerous. That's bad. But because they're like, oh, it's a virus and it works on the particles in the air, you're just like, wait, what? How? Then how? How? It doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, I can't explain it because I think it's a gaffe that they said virus.
Kevin, I'm going to give you a point. I'm going to say you're right.
Yeah.
I'm going to say you were right. I'm going to say that I was wrong in not being annoyed about this, and now just retroactively 1,000 cuts gets 1,001 cuts.
It keeps going. It keeps going, that episode.
It never stops. It's the source of all evil. It must be stopped. We have to go back. It's a river of slime!
Oh my god, you just made four references.
I don't know what's going on anymore. I'm very tired today. So let's go. There's a conversation between Jessica and Trish. Trish is at the hospital. She's talking about, hey, do you think Simpson's okay? And Jessica's like, hey, he's not here. I've got no idea. And
why is Trish even worrying about Simpson's okay?
Well, because she insists that Simpson wasn't so bad. He was a good guy before the drugs turned him into Godzilla.
I'm with Jessica. I disagree. I was with Jessica from the start where I'm like, I don't fully trust this guy. And here we are. So
yeah, I disagree too. I think he's more King Kong.
Than Godzilla?
Than Godzilla.
He's more King Kong. He's climbing up the Empire State Building, guys.
Misunderstood. Yeah, so I don't know. I loved Simpson before. He seemed like a decent guy. Sergeant America, as Brendan Fitzpatrick called him. He's a nice
Sergeant
guy.
America.
Nice guy. But something starts popping up here, this plot line about IGH, which is an acronym for nothing. What's the scoop?
Well, so that's where my comic sense perked up a little bit.
All right. So are there any spoiler alerts that we should issue here before we dive deeper?
No. comic book spoilers, I guess. It's not even really spoilers. It's something in the comic that exists.
Theorizing.
Yeah, it's theorizing. It's theorizing because, so as far as I know, in the comics themselves, and like IGH doesn't exist. However, MGH does. MGH isn't an organization, but MGH is a acronym, I guess. What's where the letters are, you know, stand for something?
Yeah, Kevin, that's an acronym.
Thank you. Acronym. I'm a writer. Got it.
I guess you're tired, too.
Yeah.
Listen, we've been podcasting about these episodes for 12 hours, 24 hours in a row. What we haven't told you guys is that all of the times we say that we've taken time off between podcasts, it's a lie. We've just
been here for a while.
We've been here for years, almost.
But MGH, in the comics, stands for Mutant Growth Hormone, which is kind of a drug you can take that grants you mutant power, special abilities, basically, for a limited time. It was introduced in the X-Men comics. Now, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they can't use that. They can't use MGH. They can't use the word mutant.
Because that's owned by Fox. Fox exactly. owns that corner of the Marvel Universe.
However, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they introduced Inhumans, which are essentially the mutants of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, Inhuman Growth Hormone could 100% be a thing, and it could be the reason why these guys are getting these powers is because they're taking these drugs. So, long and short of it, I think IGH is Inhuman Growth Hormone, and we're probably tying to a similar thing where it's drugs that are based around Inhumans.
Okay. Can you set up for people what Inhumans are in case they don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Sure. Inhumans, oh boy. Inhumans they were once human a long time ago, experimented by aliens. So they got experimented by aliens, the Kree, who were introduced in Guardians of the Galaxy as the main bad guys. And they basically mutated them and transformed them into beings with superpowers using this thing called Terrigen Mist. Anyway, the long and short of it is these guys have been around for a long time. There's a lot of Inhumans kind of existing in the world that secretly have powers and are these not human beings. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are like basically trying to uncover a lot of these things. And some Inhumans are working with the agents. Others are, you know, kind of bad guys. They're very mysterious.
Yeah.
The upcoming Inhumans movies are definitely going to be tying into a lot of it, I think.
I still don't think that they're going to do the Inhumans movie.
How awesome would that be, though? I never thought they would have done Guardians of the Galaxy. But
yeah, it's less to do with that and more to do with there's so many other movies that they have to do. And I know that they announced Inhumans and everything, but Inhumans is really dominating Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. If it comes up here on Jessica Jones, it's getting another crack here at Jessica Jones. Then, like, you know, by the time that they finally get to the movie, it's going to be 2020, and I think we're going to be all Inhumaned out.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll see, right? Like, they don't necessarily have to deal with Inhumans directly. All they have to do is make reference to the fact that eventually, you know, that IGH is Inhuman Growth Hormone. By the time Jessica Jones season 2, which is where I think they'd really delve into this, it'd be 2016, 2017 maybe. So that's 2 years down the line. Who knows what could be happening?
So you think that that's what's being set up here? You think that IGH, Inhuman Growth Hormone, is how? And I mean, that even sounds better than Mutant Growth Hormone because it's Human Growth Hormone. That's good. You think that this is being set up for a Jessica Jones season 2? I could see this being at the heart of the Defenders crossover, which is going to get Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and potentially Iron Fist all in the same story. This feels ripe for something like that.
I think so. I mean, when you think about it, the IGH, you know, implication is that people, you know, government is basically giving people powers based on drugs and chemicals. They have no idea what they're really dealing with. And it's led to stuff like this, where we have like Abe Simpson basically going nuts because these are things they don't understand. They're dealing with stuff that they don't understand. So I can definitely see this being a thing that brings together the Defenders, because if you have a bunch of people getting these superpowers that are all basically the bad guys, you need a team to be able to take them down.
Yeah.
So I can definitely see this playing into a bigger plot and a bigger scheme, which would be kind of cool.
It would be kind of cool. Can we go down the rabbit hole a little bit further?
Sure. I love going down rabbit holes.
So we find that IGA... Wait, do you mean that literally?
Yes, I enjoy delving into them. I usually eat stuff that I'm not supposed to eat, and I end up growing giant. It's very complicated, but if I drink something, it shrinks me back down. It's totally fine.
Sounds good. All right, so IGH is an acronym. It doesn't stand for anything. It seems to be a private corporation. That's who Kozlov works for. We have it on the show with Simpson is popping these pills, and it's making him stronger. And if we're to believe that IGH is Inhuman Growth Hormone, as you suggested, and that sounds like a fun theory just to entertain for right now, they also are involved in Jessica's medical bills. Is that right? That's what we're getting from Trish Walker's mom at one point.
Yeah.
Are we thinking that IGH, are those the chemicals that spilled on Jessica? And if so, did they unlock some sort of inhuman powers in her? Is she an inhuman?
Well, that would be the implication here. And I think, like, the thing about, I forgot who I was talking to about this, but they were talking about, like, when you approach things for TV versus comic books, when you do something on TV, it's hard to just be like these, like, a bunch of random accidents and random things cause people to get powers. Like, sure, you can believe it, fine, whatever. But using a unified theory, a unified example of, like, these people all got powers, but they all trace back to this X, it's much more believable, because it's like, okay, it's not just random stuff and, you know, spiders and this and that. It's like, oh, there's a connecting thread. So we have people like Kilgrave. We have people like, Luke Cage. We have Jessica. All these people, and we know other kids who got experimented on. So the idea that it all traces back to basically these people being experimented on and treated or injected with these Terrigen Mist, these chemicals that wake up latent powers like within humans or mutate them like within humans makes sense. So yeah, I think those chemicals that spilled on her could have been Terrigen Mist related. That's what awakened her powers. I think Luke Cage experimented on, because the whole way it works is that it doesn't always, like, people don't have the same powers. It doesn't just grant you the same powers. It depends on the person. So I think, yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. I think there's a unified theory here, and I think that's actually kind of cool, because it brings these characters together and makes them make sense, as opposed to just random stuff that keeps happening in the weird Marvel universe.
Yeah. And also, not to spoil anything that happens on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. specifically, but there are people who come into contact with the Terrigen Mists, and it does not work out. And when I say it doesn't work out, it means death!
Death!
They are exposed to this stuff, and they, like, just, like, crumble away. They die instantly. So how to explain that? Like, it only works if you have inhuman DNA to begin with.
Yeah, like the way it works, it's like unlocks your potential. So if you had the potential or something in your genetic code that would have allowed you, you know, maybe passed down through generations, you would have had superpowers or something, or someone descended from you would have superpowers, or someone way back had the powers and you were just a, you know, latent strain that's still inside you, it would awaken that. Otherwise, it'll kill you.
Okay.
And when you're, you know, when you're shady government organizations, you don't care about the death part. You just want the powers part, hence the experiments.
Right. Okay, so something to keep an eye on. All really interesting to me, at least. I mean, maybe some people just kept hitting, like, 30 seconds ahead, 30 seconds ahead, 30 seconds ahead. But for me, that was really interesting. So let's keep an eye on that. Let's see if there's anything that comes up with that. I wouldn't be surprised to see that play out, if not in Jessica Jones Season 2, then maybe even sooner in one of these other Netflix shows. Defenders, something else.
It'd be great. It's funny because, like, a lot of stuff at the beginning of the series, I predicted some stuff, and some other shows Robin and I watched, some other superhero shows, I predicted some stuff, and they've all basically been coming to fruition. And Robin is
well,
like,
look how smart you are, Kevin.
Well, Robin was like, this is your superpower. You can predict superhero shows. And I'm like, yeah, I read a lot of comic books.
The worst power ever.
Yeah, not useful at all.
Worst power ever. All right, so let's proceed. So we find out about IGH. Interesting stuff there. We also see the return of Trish's mom. Mama Walker is in the mix. She wants to get back into Trish's life a little bit. Doesn't seem like that's really going to play. She's going to show up again later on, but this first scene in the hospital, she's like, no, you're a terrible mom. I don't want you to have another shot at it. I kind of just want you to leave. But thanks for the orchid.
Yeah, and you kind of feel like, you know, I was really paying attention to the scene pretty hard and thinking about it. And it's like, in that moment, you know, Trish is like, no, you don't deserve another chance. And some people might be like, well, maybe she does, and maybe she does. But then immediately you see later on, she's like, no, she's a terrible person. Like, because at the heart of it, sometimes people just don't change, and she clearly hasn't. And it's tough, too, when you see someone who's, like, apologetic and is just like, I'm so sorry about what I did. What she did was terrible, terrible, terrible stuff. So it's hard to just be like, I'm sorry, you know, and be like, you should forgive me and accept me back into your life. You know, so some things like that, like, I kind of felt like maybe Trish made the right decision here to tell her, even, you know, even before the reveal that, nope, she's still terrible. It's just like, yeah, no, you did terrible stuff. You don't have the right to be in my life anymore.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting scene. It's interesting to think about.
All right. So we go from there. We go back to Jessica's, you know, they're talking, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. Jessica's telling Luke, like, you should just get out of here. You should just walk away. You should start somewhere else. And Luke's like, do I seem to you to be the kind of guy who's just going to walk away? And she says what she sees Luke to be. And this is what she says. She says, I think you're someone who is trying to survive, who keeps hidden what he needs to hide. I don't know what that is. Does that sound like Luke Cage to you? Do you think that that's a good summary of who this guy is?
I think a guy who's just trying to survive is definitely a good summary of Luke Cage. I mean, when Civil War happens, you know, Luke is actually wanted to stay out of it in the comics. Like, he just is like, I don't want any part of this. I just want people to let me be with my family. But they come to get him anyway, and they drag him into it.
Yeah. I think you're someone who's trying to survive. How would Luke Cage be on Survivor?
How would he do?
Yeah, how would he do?
Not well, because he'd be a challenge. Well, actually, you know what? He would be the person that they'd have to get rid of before the merge, because he'd be a challenge beast.
He's not going to go on an immunity run. He's good in the tribal stage. He's not going to go on an immunity run. It's all about balance these days.
I don't know, man. That's the thing. Like, I feel like when you have unbreakable skin and no one else does, and you have superpowers, you have the one-up on tribal.
Of the Netflix Marvel...
Or tribal immunity.
On the Netflix Marvel heroes that we've seen thus far, I think that Daredevil is the immunity threat. You know, he's the Joey Amazing. He's Maddie Amazing.
He would be the immunity trip, but also people would just be merely worried about him because he's blind.
Kilgrave has this on lockdown, by the way.
Yeah, he clearly the winner. We're including villains. Kilgrave wins.
Yeah, he gets, you know, he creates his alliances. I mean, he could have voting blocks every week. Like, he could constantly
be voting blocks at all. He could just get everyone to camp together and just be like, so we're going to vote for Jessica.
Right. We're voting out Jessica.
Yeah.
And then he gets the final tribal council, and, like, you know, you always have the speech and you're always trying to convince people, and his speech would literally be, vote for me.
Let go of the buoy, Ethan.
Yeah, he'd be great on Survivor.
Yeah, he would kill on Survivor.
Oh my God, he's like Brian Heidek. He's like the evil, sinister winner.
Yep.
Oh my God. Oh, cold as ice. Yeah, I listen. That would be good. That'd be great. I think that no one can beat Kilgrave in Survivor.
I think that's accurate. Maybe Professor Xavier.
He's got that unlocked. He's of the Netflix people.
The Netflix people definitely has it unlocked.
Like,
I agree.
Yeah, you would get like you'd get Matt Murdock giving him the David Murphy at the end. Like, he would be speaking on his behalf. It'd be really great. All right. So we're gonna see that Luke and Jessica, they're gonna try and figure out what's going on with Albert. One thing, they figure that Albert is being kept alive, that Kilgrave's father is being kept alive for the improvement of Kilgrave's powers. I really like what Luke says here. He says, you can't improve an asshole by making it bigger.
That's a great line.
I thought that was really funny. But they encounter Malcolm, and Malcolm is going to continue his story from the end of last episode, where he's sort of just looking like, I'm kind of thumbs down on this whole humanity thing. Like, I'm going to try and be a little more misanthropic. It seems to be the way to do it. Like, I'm certainly down on Jessica Jones. And we get a lot more of that here, where he says, I could have died with my parents still thinking that I was all the things that Kilgrave made me, but I'd rather face their pain and anger than this loneliness I feel around you.
Yeah, that was harsh, man. That was harsh.
Yeah, I have in my notes, way harsh, Malcolm.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wrote. Jeez, Mal, kind of harsh.
How would Malcolm do on Survivor?
Not well. He'd be too, he would not do well at all, because he'd be that guy who was like all trusting of humanity. He'd get blindsided real quick and then get real grumpy about it.
He would be the Malcolm that sucks.
Yeah. Yes, he would.
He would be bad.
He would not be Friedberg.
Freeburg. Yeah. So Jessica and Luke go revisit Albert's hotel room. It's a long shot, but let's see what goes on here. And they find a lot of his equipment left behind. It's about to be sold by this person who runs the hotel, who's just like really snarky and wants none of their business, and actually wants their business if they want Albert's business. She wants $50 for things that don't cost $50.
Right, but she says a lie, and like, we talked about the New York authenticity on the show, and when she says it's worth something to you, I was like, effing New Yorkers, because that's exactly what a New Yorker would do.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty funny. I thought that Luke Cage picking her up and
moving her
out of the way was the greatest visual gag that we've gotten on any of these shows so far.
It was so great. Like, everything about Luke is just so great. Like, I love that his expressions, because he does stuff so, like, like just completely like dead faced half the time, which is amazing because when you have that kind of power, especially you just kind of, you know, you're just kind of like numb to the whole thing. You're just kind of like, eh, pick up, move, put down, you know, it's great. It's fantastic. I love that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really funny. I like that. So what did they figure out? This is what's going to get them on the path of John Cochran, over yes. at a place called Zalk. How do they figure out how to get there? What's the leap?
Well, it seems that they were investigating, you know, they were looking at the chemicals. Most of them were basic. One of them was something different they had not found before, and which the grumpy cat owner of the place told them, like, oh, it's this, because she researched it because she was trying to find out if it was worth something. So they found out where those chemicals came from, and then they went to that place to stake it out to see if Kilgrave is there, basically. Okay.
So they find John Cochran of Survivor yes. Karamoan and Survivor South Pacific fame. Throw him up against the wall. They're going to hang out. They're going to stake out there. And then this is really sad in retrospect because you do have this scene where Jessica and Luke are talking, and Luke says, you know, I was wrong for blaming Reva's murder on you. I forgive you for everything, and I'll say that every day for as long as you need to hear it. And I felt like, you know, they were going to MO. I thought that we were leading to some kissy face, and there was no kissy face. And also now on reflection, is this authentic? Is this real? Is this how Luke actually feels, or is this all Kilgrave-isms?
Yeah, that's what sucks about it. I think it might be like a lot of Kilgrave-ism, which, you know, really does suck because, as we talked about, Jessica, I don't think she is a POS, but she has a little bit in her, but I don't think it's fully there. She's definitely been trying real hard lately to not be that and do right by people and help people and try to take out Kilgrave.
Yeah, very sad. It's very
yeah, but it seems
sad.
Like a lot of this was just straight up Kilgrave being an evil dick.
Right. But I mean, we do get at the end of the episode when she's about to shotgun Luke in the face. Luke is going to be like, do what you need to do. And I don't know, you know, that sounds like the honest Luke. Like, that sounds like the Luke who is actually there. And that sounds kind of consistent with the Luke that's here on the roof. So I'm hopeful, you know, fingers crossed that this guy hasn't, you know, completely lost it in this moment.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, you know, because Kilgrave can't predict everything that their conversation is going to be. So I think maybe he lets them. You know, he left some clues or traces in his head to say stuff. And by the end, though, I mean, the order was now just, you know, kill her. So he can still say, I think, things as himself. It's just his order has to be to fight. That he's allowed to still talk and mostly be himself at the end.
Right.
But he still has to try and kill her in the process.
So we've talked the IGH thing to death, but there's yes. a scene here with Trish at Trish's apartment, and Trish's mom comes. And I guess it's just worth noting again that damn doorman, man.
Yeah, he's not good at his job. I guess that's why he's going to be fired. Yeah,
Doorman's a damn scumbag, man.
Yeah, he's not good, man.
He's no good. He's no good. So he let Trish and Trish's mom in, and that's not great.
No, because, you know, Trish's mom, this is the scene. Trish's mom comes in, just like, well, I have something that can help you, but I want something out of it. And it's going to be, you know, it's just like, oh, of course you do. You can't just, you know, if you want to repair the relationship, you first repair the relationship. Then you ask for something. You don't just, you know, open up with, give me a favor already. Like, Jesus Christ. Learn your ways, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Can you please endorse this water for me? What? Stop. Yeah. Get out of here. Go. Leave.
Yeah. Just, ugh. Awful. Awful.
Do you think that we'll see her again, or was that enough for Jessica Jones here?
I mean, personally, for me, it's kind of enough. I feel like we may see her again because if she does have more information at the house, like, she might go there. So, you know, if they start researching more about the IGH stuff, that she would go there to find out more information. But I don't need to see more of her right now because it's like, yeah, you're a terrible mom. I don't need more of your face around here.
We've got one episode left. Pressing matters on the table here. We could be done with that.
Yeah, we have other stuff going on. I think she might play a bigger part in season two, but presuming it gets to season two, which of course it will.
Yeah, very likely. Very likely. All yeah. right. So Jessica and Luke, they're going to see a courier who is leaving the lab and is going to Central Park. And there's this really great scene. I loved this. I loved seeing Central Park and all of this detail. It was really
because
nice.
it was real, man. Like, yeah, the bubble guy. Cool. I was like, ah, bubble guy. Like, yeah, that guy's always there making his giant bubbles.
Yeah, it was great. And I just love how, like, he does it right in front of her. And she's like, that's not cool.
It's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that was really great. And I just love them at the fountain, and the terrace was really cool.
She criticized the people with the, like, four wide stroller, which is a very, very
breeders.
Yeah, breeders. Like, it's just
Yeah, it was a very
there's a lot there.
It was a real New York moment of just like what it's like for the person who lives in New York to just like tear through Central Park. Like I got to be at a thing. Like I'm not stopping and appreciating the beauty and the wonder of this place around me. I just need to follow that guy, and you stroller people are in my way.
Yep.
So I thought that was very fun. I thought that that was a really great Jessica Jones New York moment.
Yeah, it's very authentic. I appreciate this show and its authenticity to portraying New York, both the best of it and the worst of it.
Yeah. So she sees the courier, gets to a certain point, and picks up these scissors and puts them in his mouth and falls forward so it comes out of his head. And it's like, Jessica Jones, as a show, are you really trying to one-up that time in Daredevil when that guy rammed his face through a spike? Really?
I feel like, yeah, because I thought the guy was going to cut out his tongue so he can't say anything. But no, Kilgrave just had him just, nope, let's just execute him, dropping himself onto, you know, a pair of garden shears.
So how did that happen? How does this guy know, like, to go find those garden shears, shove them in his mouth, and fall on them? That is such a specific order.
Well, it seems very much, I mean, the way Kilgrave says something later on that made it sound like, because when Jessica loses that guy for a second, it sounds like he met up with Kilgrave and passed something to him. And I think Kilgrave was there, so he would have said, get those garden shears, put them in your mouth, and drop yourself on them, and then lift. Like, Kilgrave can say that in all of, like, half a second.
That's so specific.
Well, it's an easy way. Like, go kill yourself. Jessica could have caught up. If there's something nearby, it's like, do this right now. It's just like, okay, this guy's dead. I don't have to worry about Jessica I will say this, though, by the way.
You convinced me.
Oh, yeah. I will say this that I thought was hilarious. Like, Robin pointed it out. When that guy dropped himself on the shears and the shears are sticking out the back of his head, Jessica reaches down to check his pulse. And it's just like Robin said, quote, was that necessary? He's super dead.
Like, well, what if he wasn't? What if that just like went out like partly to the side and he was just like, ow. Ow.
I mean, yeah, that would suck. But I don't know. The way it looked to me, I'm like, that is coming out the back of his head. He is definitely dead.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, listen, I respect her appreciation for life, you know?
Now I'm thinking about the, there.
Yeah, he's just like, my mouth! I'm thinking of, again, no spoilers, I'm thinking of a certain scene from Hot Fuzz right now.
that episode, or that movie is so phenomenal.
Really good, but yeah.
Stephen Wright, man, he does good stuff.
So that whole thing was a thing.
Edgar Wright, Stephen Wright. He does stuff, though.
but this was an ordeal. This was an ordeal of this guy just, like, slamming his face on some shears. That was just gross. That was graphic. I still think that the Daredevil thing wins, but this was pretty nasty.
Yeah, I think the Daredevil thing wins, definitely. Because the Daredevil thing, he wasn't being controlled to do so. He just did it because he's that crazy hardcore.
Right. So Trish shows up at Jessica's apartment just as Jessica and Luke are coming back. And it seems like she is going to give her some info on IGH, but then she decides to not give the info on IGH because she wants Jessica and Luke to bone. Is that right? Was that the read?
That was definitely the read, which I was also very like, why not say that information? And Robin kind of told me, you know, she pointed out, she's like, well, because this stuff isn't dealing with Kilgrave, it's dealing with the extra stuff with Simpson, which isn't vital right now. And I'm like, oh, that's a good point. So at first I was like, oh, why not? But I was like, oh, she has a good point. There's no, like, this isn't pressing.
Isn't the Simpson thing more vital than Jessica and Luke getting it on? I mean, granted, that's very vital, and I would like that to happen, please, yes. But that being said, Simpson did try to kill Trish and Jessica. His whereabouts are currently unknown. Don't we maybe want to have that be like a secondary concern?
And yeah, but when there's other stuff going on, I mean, she knows that Luke and Jessica are, one, trying to find Kilgrave. Two, she knows that Jessica has feelings for this guy and wants Jessica to be a, you know, better mended person. And I mean, all she has right now is, you know, the words IGH. And here's information that could connect you with these people and all this stuff. And it's like, you don't need this stress right now. You don't need to know all this stuff because you're going against Kilgrave, and that's a big issue. So she doesn't want to add stuff to, I think, Jessica's already pretty full plate.
Fine. Fine. We go into the apartment. Luke is basically telling the guy from the bar, he's like, hey, sorry about the bar. But don't worry, good bartenders always find work. And Jessica also shows Luke the yellow USB drive. She gives the USB drive that Reva had buried, that Jessica had unburied, that Jessica killed Reva over. And now that we know where Luke's head is at, that he's been Kilgraved, did he take that? Did he hand it over to Kilgrave, do you think? And if so,
that's a good question.
You know, that might not be great.
that might not be great. And that's, I feel like this is all going to be stuff setting up for season two or a future thing, because, like, clearly it's going to tie into Luke Cage, because now it kind of shows that, Reva has some kind of connections and experiments with Kilgrave, but also somehow those are probably tied to Luke. That's really what it boils down to, because of Reva's connection. So clearly there's some kind of connection between the experiments between Luke and Kilgrave.
Yeah, so that could be something.
That could actually bleed over to Luke's show.
Yeah, I could see it. So Malcolm is going to leave. He's going to leave New York. He's about to leave, but then he sees Robin in distress, and he goes to be nice. He decides he's going to be a good guy, and Robin is accosting the delivery person,
Because
of course she is, and there's something about Ruben's chinchilla, and I wasn't really following along, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I kind of lost it there. They said something about a chinchilla and something about express shipping, and I was very confused about a lot of that.
R.I.P.
Rewatched, but
R.I.P. Ruben. I hope you have express shipping in heaven. Thanks for the banana bread with the nutmeg. That was really good. I really have nothing else to say about the Robin and Malcolm stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, I suppose. I mean, I like Malcolm, but the Robin stuff, I was just kind of like, what? I don't. What? What is this? Like,
just not feeling it, and I don't think it's worth the energy.
Agreed. Agreed. 100%.
So those are scenes that exist in this episode of Jessica Jones.
They happened.
You can go back and watch this episode of Jessica Jones and relive those scenes for yourself if you would like.
Yeah, we won't.
Yeah. In the meantime, let's talk about some of the stuff that matters a lot more. Let's talk about Kilgrave on his roof terrace, and he's going to make his dad shove his hand into a blender because he needs to focus up better.
Which we were debating whether or not the dad really was under his control. I think it's fair to say, yeah, he's under his control 100%.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you would think that he would have, you know, he would have snapped at him or done something, you know, something to lash out. Like, he's had days here.
Yeah.
So you would think that he would make some sort of move against Kilgrave at this point, unless he's just, like, deep cover. That would be real deep.
Sticking your hand into a moving blender, yeah, that's some commitment. That is some commitment right there.
Yeah, I don't think that he would go all the way if that was true. So, yeah, I think he's been Kilgraved. I think he's being Kilgraved. I don't know. I hope for a happy ending. I hope that one of Kilgrave's parents can make it out of this thing alive.
I guess so, but at the same time, they did these terrible experiments to him. So.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not saying I want him to die, but I'm not saying, like...
But you're kind of saying that.
I'm not saying he's completely innocent, is all.
Got it. Let's talk about more important stuff, such as Luke Cage in a towel, fresh out of the shower. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my God. You're so hot.
Dude, I can't be. Gotta love it.
Mike Coulter is a specimen.
Yes, indeed.
They cast Luke Cage very well.
It's great because, you know, the Marvel Cinematic stuff, they do such a good job of, like, you know, providing the beefcake. Like, you know, they provide, you know, like, comic books are known for providing the cheesecake. In fact, notoriously known
steak
for
steak and cheesecake.
Yeah. But, you know, the cinematic universe is all about providing the beefcake. And I can, you know, I can really appreciate that to kind of, like, subvert what the comics have done in a not, you know, in a very gratuitous way.
Oh, it's great. It's great. It's great. Anyway, so they're going to knock down and figure out what's going on. It's Delaney Hall. I'm not much of a concert goer, I have to admit. It's not my
favorite. I am not at all. I work right next to Carnegie Hall and never once even stepped foot inside.
Yeah, I just have to admit that it's not exactly my thing. But there's a music hall. There's a big music venue. And they're going to go and they're going to knock down the door and they're going to figure out what's going on. And basically, yada, 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 uh-oh, Luke Cage has been Kilgraved, and Kilgrave is going to kill Jessica. This is a big step. I mean, we're talking about the evolution of Kilgrave's powers, but how about the evolution of, you know, his philosophy and his goals and what he wants? He's over the Jessica Jones thing. He's like, yep, I screwed it up, or it got screwed up for me. That's probably what he's thinking.
Yeah.
And I don't really have a shot anymore, so I may as well just, you know, fully commit to killing Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I think that he is, so to speak, he is over her, and in a usual psychopathic person kind of way, if I can't have you, no one will. I think, you know, this is about par for the course for this Looney Tune of a guy right here.
Yeah.
And I gotta admit, again, that scene shocked me. You know, I have my notes like, oh no, Luke!
I know.
Because I didn't see that coming at all. That said, the fight scene was great. I thought it was very well done. It's clearly, again, the action in this show is very different from the action in Daredevil. And we see here it's more of a brawl, and it's more brutal and just, you know, straight up throwing punches and stuff as opposed to a choreographed fight. But there's so much about it I like Jessica having to run. She goes into a room at one point, is waiting there to like hit him across the head, but instead he bursts through the wall behind her and pulls her through. Like, there's so much great stuff in this fight scene.
Yeah, no, that was good. There were some things that were just like total TV moments for me, like when she tries to fly away and he grabs her by the ankle and puts her down. Like, that just felt very Buffy to me.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Buffy is a good thing to feel like, in my opinion.
Sure. But it just, I think that with like the prestige show that the Netflix stuff is aiming for, it felt a little bit like, man, just a little goof.
Yeah, but if you're Jessica, you would try to fly away. It's a smart move.
Totally. I mean, I didn't care that much, but there was just a few things like that was just like, meh, all right. But yeah. I liked the idea of the brawl. I liked the idea of Luke being Kilgraved. I didn't see it. I was very sad by it. It culminates in this really big ending where Jessica has to shoot him in the head, which we know he'll be fine. He might have a headache for a while, he might be hurt, but he's gonna make it through that.
I think he was knocked out, which would make sense. It's basically like getting hit in the head really hard, but if you're just a normal person.
Yeah, real hard.
Yeah, super hard.
And it's not like his brain is unbreakable.
That's true. Like, he could have a concussion because of the force of it just rattling his brain around.
Yeah.
I did love when she ripped off the police car door to use as like a blockade. I thought that was awesome, as like a shield, basically. Again, there was a lot of cool stuff about this fight scene that's so very different from the Daredevil stuff or like even the Captain America stuff. But that's actually, one of the things I appreciate about the Marvel movies and what they're doing. And every now and then they do it really well. Like, I think the DC animated stuff does it really well, where you have these people with different skill sets and they fight different ways because they have to. Like, you can't have these characters all fighting the same way because it would have, it just doesn't. To me, it wouldn't make sense. Like, Captain America can't fight the same way as Daredevil. He can't do what Daredevil does.
Right.
So I like that they take the time to do these different types of action sequences as opposed to just your basic same stuff over and over.
100% agreed.
Like, punching a person into a building and then punching them into a building again and then flying up in the air and punching them down into another building. Stuff like that.
Oh, Kevin. Don't you feel liberated now that you can say things like that?
A little.
All right. So this is the ending of Jessica Jones episode 12, the penultimate episode. It ends with Jessica having to do that to Luke Kilgrave once again on the run. There is a sense of these final few episodes that we've been talking about of just a little bit of wheel spinning, I will say. Like, it's like, what's really being moved forward? I think that there was a real sort of propulsive quality to the first half of this season that has felt a little bit stagnant recently. I don't know if I'm the only one feeling that.
Well, they kind of like did a lot in episode 10 that like propelled stuff forward really hard in a very short period of time.
Yeah, maybe we could have stretched that out.
Yeah, they probably could have stretched a little bit of that out, and so this would have felt a little bit more paced better. Right. But again, I'm not down on it.
That's fine.
They've caught themselves up pretty well, and I'm really excited for that last episode. I'm really pumped to see how it all ends. Part of me is kind of hoping she doesn't kill Kilgrave,
right.
But I don't know what else you could do with that guy.
I would love to see her just, pop his head off. Like, that would be great. I would just love to see her just, maybe actually unleash those laser eyes she threatened in the premiere and liquefy his intestines. Like, I really want to see him get his. I don't want that guy out on the streets anymore. So I know you love David Tennant. I'm rooting for a Kilgrave death. What do you think? Do you think that it's going to happen? If you had to make a bet, is Kilgrave making it out of this thing or not? I'm going to say he's not, and if you want to say...
I think he might.
All right, so here are the stakes. I'm coming out to Los Angeles later this week for the Survivor finale. I'm hanging out with Kevin a lot. I'm going to be staying with Kevin and Robin. Kevin, I will buy you a beer if Kilgrave lives, and you buy me a beer if Kilgrave dies.
That sounds like a good plan. So I'm all for that.
So that's the bet. All right, so what else needs to be wrapped up here as we're looking to finish Jessica Jones season one? What else is still, like, what does the finale have to do for you to make it feel like a satisfying finish for this first season?
Well, there needs to be, obviously, the Kilgrave confrontation. There needs to be a resolution there. It's weird because I feel like there isn't that much they really have to do anymore. I mean, they've already clearly, to me, setting up season two. So I think the Kilgrave confrontation needs to happen. There needs to be something to like kind of really get a good resolution with Luke and Jessica, because we know that some of the stuff he's saying wasn't necessarily true, but I do want to know what is his thoughts, what is his feelings, where do they stand? I would love to see what Trish is going to do. Like, is she going to embrace now this lifestyle of being maybe a more of a vigilante, more of an active participant in this type of scene? I think that's really... where it can go. I mean, I can't think of anything like, oh, and then Iron Fist and Daredevil showed up, and they all teamed up and take down Kilgrave. And then I'd be like, what?
What do you think? Any chance that we get a Daredevil cameo in the finale?
God, I thought so many times of how there could be a Daredevil crossover. I mean, I kept thinking somehow with Hogarth or something, but I don't know where is he going to show up? I don't think he's going to show up as Daredevil. He'd have to show up as Matt Murdock, in my opinion. But I would love it, mind you. I would love to see Charlie Cox on screen one more time.
He could be Hogarth's lawyer. He could defend the
Hogarth. That's a bad call on Matt's part. Like, defend someone good, Matt. Come on.
Right. Maybe he could take her down.
Yeah, maybe he'll be against Hogarth, which actually I kind of really like. So
yeah, well, I think also there's probably a thought that if we have Daredevil showing up on Jessica Jones now, is that undercutting, you know, a Defenders reveal down the line? So maybe not. One can hope. I would love to see him, or at least like Foggy. I would like to peep on Foggy. What's up, Foggy? I'd like to see some Foggy.
I mean, I honestly would like to see a little bit of that crossover. I mean, again, I don't think they need to play a major role, but it's part of what like would make the cinematic universe cool is when you get these small brief cameos and stuff like that. Because, you know, you see these interactions like in Thor 2, when you saw, Loki change into Chris Evans for a brief moment being Captain America. That's great. Like, you know, that's a great moment and it's a brief cameo, but I kind of like that. I kind of like these like small appearances that show this unified world without having it to be like, you know, too much of a, oh yeah, now they're fighting together, you know, one-on-one all the time, so.
Right. All right, let's wrap it up here. We've got one more episode of the Jessica Jones podcast before we close this thing out. We'll stop short of promising any feedback shows that we can't deliver, but maybe, who knows?
Yeah, we did not deliver last time I did.
So we're certainly not promising anything. Very likely that we've got one more podcast coming up here on Post Show Recaps talking about the final episode of Jessica Jones Season 1, a.k.a. Smile.
Yeah, I like that as a title.
Yeah, I hope that that's like what she says to Kilgrave. She says, smile, and then just punches his head off. Like,
yeah,
just straight
actually,
off.
It's funny because, like, I'm thinking, like, the opposite. Like, it's not her punching his head off, but, like, as he's getting his mugshot taken or something, or, like, as he's being handcuffed, she just sees him, and the last line is just hers telling him to smile or something. But I don't think it'll be the last line of the series, because that'll be weird if it's just and Kilgrave gets arrested and the end. Like, I think there's still wrap-ups to do.
All right, so we'll see what's going on there. Follow Kevin on Twitter. He's at Kev Mahadeo. I'm at Round Howard. Do we have a good hashtag for this one? I don't know that we've got any America pills left over, but was there anything that stood out to you?
Besides the John Cochran thing, not anything that comes to mind immediately.
How about hashtag aka John Cochran?
I love it. I love it.
So we can end it there. All right, guys, we'll be back with one more podcast about Jessica Jones in about a day, a.k.a. Smile. It's almost over. So sad. So sad, Kevin.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Very sad, but we'll have a good time talking about the finale. All right, everybody, take care. Bye.
Bye.